Welcome to Let's Grow. This is a personal development podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy A. Taylor, but you can call me JT. Whether it's a short message from yours truly or an interview with a special guest, this is your place for weekly encouragement to keep going and growing. My goal here is simple, to leave you better than I found you. And I know your time is valuable, so let's dive right in. Hey, what's up, guys? This is JT, and this is another episode of the Let's Grow podcast. I am crazy excited to introduce you to a friend of mine because there's a really good chance that you probably don't know anyone else who does the work that she does. And I'm excited to talk about that today. But again, as always, this is your place for a shot of encouragement. We just want to leave you better than we found you. Real conversations, real people. We want to encourage you along. That's the name of the game. And so today we're going to be chopping it up with my friend who is based in New York, but she's a world traveler now. And her name is Miss Marley Hall. Marley, thanks so much for hanging out with me today.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks so much for having me. I love that introduction. I'm crazy excited too.
You know, with the work that we do, we got to bring the energy. And so, and just anytime I get an opportunity to hang out with someone special who I know is going to add value to the listeners here on the podcast, I get really excited. And so Marley, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you come from. That way our listeners know who you are. And before we dive into a few specific questions about the work that you do and go from there.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, in a nutshell, I am based in New York. However, I am now a digital entrepreneur or digital nomad, traveler, whatever you want to call it. But I basically travel and I work while I travel. But it was a long time getting to this point because for 20 years, I worked in the broadcast news industry as a reporter and an anchor, and rose to the highest levels of that industry, and the pandemic hit and I decided to make a pivot. So here I am.
Nice, nice. So Marley, you said that you're based in New York. Is that where you're born and raised?
Yes, yes. Actually, I was born on Long Island, suburbs of New York City. And and I've lived there my whole life. I mean, except for some travel, but I am based out of there and have lived there my whole life.
Well, good stuff. Well, Marley, I have thoroughly enjoyed, you know, keeping in touch with you by way of social media and following you along there, seeing your journey, seeing you pivot as what we'll talk about here in just a little bit, because we're going to talk today in this conversation, just to make sure, you know, obviously the podcast listeners can see the title, they can see the name of the guest, firm up a general direction of our conversation today. You know, we're talking a little bit about personal and professional adaptation to change, you know, and, you know, seeing that you have made that pivot, I think is something that people are going to be really interested to hear about, because one, you know, the pandemic did obviously put people in a position where it was either necessary or provided a prime opportunity to do so if people were thinking about it. And then number two, you know, what I want to make sure that we touch on today is, you know, it's not like you and I are spring chickens. You know, we didn't just graduate from yesterday. It's not like we, you know, we're fresh out into the world and kind of thinking about what we want to do. And so a lot of people have a really difficult time making a change, making a shift after they have, you know, planted themselves in an industry. And like you said, rose to those ranks. But I do want to make sure people know this. You know, I initially met Marley through a network marketing company some time ago, health and wellness based products. And so, you know, just naturally seeing her energy, her inspiration, her vibe, the way that she treated people, you know, she was an easy connection to make and someone who was a pleasure to follow along with, just because of who she is as a person. So I want to make sure that I share that, that way people know how you and I got connected. But Marley, tell us before we move forward, you know, with a few questions, tell us something about you that we wouldn't know about you if we just simply, which by the way, if you go to our social media profiles now, you're going to get kind of jealous because she's posting all these exotic location pics. And so I'm not going to act like I'm salty on here, although I am, but not really. But tell us something about yourself that we wouldn't know if we just went to your social media profiles.
Wow. When you said real talk, real conversations, you were not kidding. Okay. I think what most people can't tell by looking at my social media is that I do not have it all figured out. It's easy to think that way. Like you said, I travel all the time. So you'll see a lot of exotic locations, some great food shots and drinks and all the fun things in life. But I'm still figuring it out like everyone else. I'm human. As I mentioned earlier, I made a huge life pivot recently, and it's been a process to get adjusted to that, although it's been really fun and I've grown so much, but it's work and it's a challenge every day. And when you live outside of the box, you have to constantly coach yourself and tell yourself that, you know, it's okay. Just because everybody's not doing this doesn't mean you shouldn't, if that makes any sense.
that's a great point there, because I think that that traps a lot of people and puts them back on their heels you know, discourages them from taking that kind of leap or taking that kind of step. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up into social norms, I guess you could say, to go to school, get some sort of education, get a job, get a paycheck and a mortgage and a family, and just live out the rest of your days like that until you retire at an age that I feel is too late to enjoy life. So I decided that I didn't want to do that. And I think that that's a really hard transition for a lot of people to make, because when I tell people what I do now with my life, I don't know if I mentioned, but I am a voiceover artist. That's what I do now professionally to make money and support myself while I travel the world. And when I tell people that, they are confused. They don't understand. They can't relate. And sometimes I'll just drop it. Like, I just travel the world all the time. And they don't even have follow-up questions. I'm like, what? Nothing else? You don't want to know? It's like, it's so foreign that most people really can't even wrap their brains around it. But it's so worth it. It's totally worth it.
And it's so exciting to hear someone, you know, like you said, you don't have it all together. And, you know, there's some doubts from time to time. There's some frustrations from time to time. There's some things that don't go as planned, just like anybody else. You know, so obviously there's challenges there, and maybe we can get to that part here in just a little bit. But I would also venture to say that there's probably some questions or pushback maybe from family and friends along the way. Is that ever been the case?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, people think that I am absolutely insane, off my rocker, for leaving a 20-year career where I ascended to the highest levels of network news. That's one. People just cannot understand that. They think that something happened, something is wrong with me, and that I have no other choice but to do this. But that's not the case. It's a very conscious choice to walk away from, I hesitate to say a 9-to-5, because those were never the hours. It was basically a 24/7 job. Yeah. But it took a lot to walk away, but the pandemic, I think, was the catalyst to that. It's something that I always wanted to do. And traveling is my happy place. And I'm here now, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Well, it's written all over your face, Miss Marley, I can tell. A lot of the listeners know that oftentimes I record our podcast. You know, I strip the audio from a Zoom link, from a Zoom recording, because I like the platform using Zoom, because I can see my guests and we can relate a little bit better in the conversation. And so for those of you who obviously can't see what I see right now, Marley is beaming with excitement and joy, because she's in an unbelievably warm climate and I'm in Kentucky, where it's going to be about 10 degrees on Saturday. And so,
oh my goodness.
But again, I'm not salty at all.
That sounds Marley, beautiful.
you mentioned a second ago, you said, well, you know, I say 9-to-5, just because that kind of flows with the conversation of what people typically process a full-time job and career with. But you said it was more like a 24/7 setup. Is that because being a public figure, you felt like you always had to be on because of that profession? Is that, or what do you mean by
that? No, that was what the job required. And that is very standard and normal place. It's just normal for a news reporter or anchor, especially at the higher levels. Breaking news happens all the time, every day, and it doesn't happen at a specific time. So when I was actively working in the news, there's no such thing as set hours. I forewent weekends and holidays and special occasions and family events all the time. And I could get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning to say, just go to the airport. There was a shooting at a church in Charleston and you've got to be there and cover it 24/7 around the clock for the next 10 days or more, or whenever the story fizzles out and they send you home. So that's the norm when it comes to this industry. It's you're on 24/7 because that's simply what it requires. And if you don't answer that email or answer that call, then there's somebody else to step in your shoes.
Yeah. You know, when I left public education back in 2011, 2012, you know, I had some similar, you know, sentiments there in that, you know, as a teacher and coach, I loved the work that I got to do. I loved the relationships I got to build, the way that I got to influence young people, impact my local community, teach, coach, build up, right? Young people at a formidable age and season of their life, right? Where you could, you know, really leave an impression on them. But there was aspects of that job where I realized that, man, you know, I work a lot more hours than what I get paid to work. You know, there were times I felt like, you know, here I am, you know, getting paid a salary, no matter how many hours I work, you know, and you tack on full-time teaching alongside being a head basketball coach at the varsity level at high school. You know, there were weeks where I was working, you know, 70 plus 80 hours and I'm just completely tanked. And so I can definitely, understand how that feels. But also something I'm curious about before we transition, talk a little bit about the work you do now, is was there ever a time where you were like, man, you know what, based on kind of like the news cycle and what's put out in front of the world by way of the media, this is just stuff I don't want to cover anymore. This is stuff I don't want to talk about anymore. Was that ever the case?
That was the case in some instances, but I have to say, though, I did love it. It wasn't all bad. Sure. It was an amazing, amazing experience to give voice to the voiceless, to be on national television, and to be able to inform and entertain. And it really is a profound privilege, and I never, ever, and won't ever take it for granted. So, and it was always so exciting to be in a different place every day, reporting on a different topic and different people. It never, never gets boring. And so that was always a good thing and something that I always look forward to. And I think I lost my train of thought and what your original question is. Tell me again.
No, I was just saying, you know, I was just kind of alluding to, you know, oftentimes when we look out in the world and we see things that are put out in front of, you know, in the media space, news, broadcast and whatnot, obviously, you know, we're living in a very divisive time and where, you know, it's hard to trust whatever outlets and here and there. So I was just wondering if any of that stuff kind of entered your headspace of, I feel conflicted here, or, you know, maybe I don't want to cover some of the stuff that I've been asked to cover. So I was just curious about that, because I can't say I've ever really sat down and talked with the news broadcaster about, you know, what a lot of what that the day-to-day operations entail, you know?
Well, I always worked for news organizations that really were fair and balanced. And sure. So I never had any ethical or moral dilemmas in terms of reporting the news that I was assigned to report. But I will say there are stories that I like more than others. I lean towards the lighter side of things. I love human interest stories. I love entertainment stories. I love stories that have to do with culture and lifestyle and food and travel. But many times, more often, I was called upon to cover tragedies and politics and things that aren't as fun to me. Although there are some reporters that live for that stuff. Yeah. But for me, I definitely enjoyed more the human interest stories and when I got to really connect with people and be their voice and tell their stories.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. Thank you for sharing that. And of course, hopefully you understand, in my no way, shape, form, or fashion was I trying to push poker prior, get you to say something derogatory about your profession. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a journalist, and I wasn't interviewing you to move you in that direction, just so you know.
Yeah, but, I got it.
so with the career transition, Marley, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, my transition from teacher coach to, you know, home-based business, entrepreneur, kind of, you know, setting my own schedule, building relationships and networks of people, and then how that kind of organically grew into my public speaking career. You know, I can look back and kind of see how each of those things tied together to prepare me for where I'm at today. So I guess the next question I have here for folks who are maybe thinking about career transition or they're struggling in the middle of a transition, how would you say what you were previously doing, how did that prepare you, or did it at all, for what you're currently doing?
Oh, it prepared me tremendously. I mean, I am still speaking into a microphone and I have 20 years of experience doing that. So definitely that skill was transferable. A lot of the tech skills were very transferable because I'm accustomed to shooting video and editing it on, you know, video editing softwares, where in this case, I record audio and I edit the audio. And yeah, a lot of the mechanics of that editing are largely the same. And also the work ethic, like my work ethic, I mean, I don't mean to tap myself on the back, but is insane. Like when you work in TV news, like it's just go, go, go. And they demand perfection. And of course we're human and that's not always possible, but I always strive for that because if I didn't, then that's my job. And I wanted to keep my job. So I would say all those things helped me tremendously in voiceover. And voiceover by comparison is really not that hard. Of course, there was a learning curve. Of course, I did a number of rounds of coaching and training, and it's been good. It's been really, really good. And I found that the work ethic that I bring to it far exceeds what's expected. So I feel like I'm a superstar in this industry. I'm loving it.
I can dig it. Well, you know, I'm sure there's some listeners thinking right now, okay, we've heard her say voiceover artist a couple of times now. So I'm sure they're thinking, what exactly does that mean? One, but then I want to answer that question by beginning with questions that you typically get about what you do. So I'm sure oftentimes when you say, well, this is the work I do and this is the work I get to do and I love to do it, so forth and so on, I'm sure you get some questions about what is a voiceover artist, or they ask you like how you get paid, da, 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 right? So what are some common questions you get when you tell people that you're a voiceover artist? Because not many people hear someone say, I'm a voiceover artist.
Well, I think there's two reactions. One is a look of complete bewilderment, which is the more common reaction. And the second reaction is they'll say something like, oh, do you do voices for cartoons? And although that's one genre of voiceover, that's not what I do. So those are the two reactions that I normally get. But when I'm met with complete confusion, I'll normally just explain very simply by saying, I do the voice that you may hear in a commercial that airs on TV or radio. And there are other genres like audiobooks, corporate narrations, which means like voicing a video that's going to be used internally, let's say for new employees, for example. There's telephony, where you can record the phone system or the voicemail system for a major corporation, which there's a huge demand for that. So there's many, many genres. And I will usually just break it down with that first line that I mentioned. I do voices for commercials that you hear on TV or radio. And most people get it at that point. And then some people be like, huh, wow, I never heard of that a day in my life. That is a thing. And they do pay for that. So
they do pay for that. So when you started moving in this direction, what was your vision here? And what did you see yourself doing? What did you want to do? And I also ask, like, what's a dream project that you would like to have in this industry? Like, what's something that you like, man, if I can do this from a voiceover work, I feel as if I will have arrived.
Movie trailers.
Yeah.
Movie trailers. That is like the pinnacle, the highest of the high. And also it's an area that's dominated by men. You know, when you think of a movie trailer, you think of this deep baritone just booming, and you don't, and it's a male voice. You don't typically hear women do movie trailers. So I feel like if I can do that, then drop the mic. I'm done.
I can dig it. I can dig. And you're right. That deep voice, a suspenseful thriller, you know, moving to Somerset, Kentucky this winter.
Like, that's good.
Yeah, there you go. Got a little practice going on.
Jeremy.
There might be space for me in the industry, but who knows? So, Marley, I want to ask you this: you're a very positive, upbeat kind of person, and as you and I discussed earlier in the conversation, we don't have it all figured out. We're not perfect. You know, people may see what we post online, but at the end of the day, we don't post what we post online because we're trying to fake the funk and act like we're someone that we're not. We just want to put positive stuff out into the world. We want to put encouraging content out in the world. And so I oftentimes tell people that, man, if you got in my headspace for 24 hours, you would think, wow, this guy should be disqualified from the work that he does based on all the thoughts that he has, because he's not as positive as what people think he is. So I say all that to ask this, Marley, you know, what are some things that you do to stay encouraged, to stay positive? Because, you know, doing what you do, working for yourself, being an independent business owner, it can get lonely at times. You know, I know that because I've worked from home for a number of years and run a small business. So what are some things that you do to stay encouraged and stay positive?
Well, I meditate for one. I do yoga, and I find that just that physicality and that stretching really helps me so much physically as well as mentally and emotionally. I'm a big to-do list person. I find that before I go to bed, if I just make a list, just do like a brain dump and just make a list of everything that I want to address the next day, that frees my mind enough to not worry about it. And then I can fall asleep. So that's one of my tricks. And when I get up in the morning, I have my coffee and I ruminate on everything that's to come. But most of all, I remember my blessings. You know, I remember, as you always say, I get to do this. Oh. And that regardless of the challenges, whether it's hard or whether it requires something that I don't yet have or don't know how to do, I figure it out, because it's such a blessing to one, be healthy, to stand on two legs that work and be able to go wherever I want to go, all over this world. That's huge. And I get to travel while I make an income and support myself, and I can work from the beach, and I get to do things like go ATV and scuba dive and sail to a neighboring island every single day. That's like normal stuff. And that is a huge blessing. And I'm so grateful for that. So whatever challenges come my way, I got it. It's okay. We'll get it done, because this right here is everything.
Yeah, I can dig it. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, and I feel like, you know, a couple of things you mentioned there have not only been things that can help people stay encouraged in the work that they do, but just in the time that we're living in, where there's been so much negativity, so much division and dissension in the world, so much uncertainty, that, you know, when we stay grounded by way of gratitude, it helps us to focus on what I believe are, you know, focusing on what we can do with what we have, where we're at. And at the end of the day, that helps us move in a more positive, proactive direction. You know, everyone's been impacted differently by, you know, all of the madness of the pandemic. And then I think a byproduct of that, you know, you see all of these other issues surfacing. And so it's been a crazy time, and it's exciting to talk to someone like yourself, Marley, who's in a good place, who's in a healthy place, who's excited about doing the work that they do. And so I certainly admire that. and I appreciate that. Marley, this is the Let's Grow podcast. So, you know, I'm big on personal growth and development. I'm big on learning from other people. You know, do you read any books? Do you listen to any podcasts, or are there any people that you look up to that you draw inspiration from?
Oh yeah, absolutely. One book that I am currently reading is called The Fearless Mind by Dr. Craig Manning. And it's all about optimizing what you already have, your skill, your intellect, and using it full capacity, using it at full capacity all the time. Because so many times our thoughts get in the way, our anxiety gets in the way, and it sort of dumbs us down. It makes us perform less than. And if you can conquer your mind, well, you got it. So that's one thing that I'm reading. And also there's this podcast called Mission Audition, which is all about voiceover, and it breaks down voiceover auditions, because voiceover is a very solitary profession sometimes, because it's just you in your little booth with a microphone, and you send in your recordings to some entity who will approve them, then pay you. So it's all done on your own and by yourself. And so it's so interesting in this particular podcast to listen to other people's auditions, because I never get to hear that. I only hear my own, and to break them down and figure out what they did right and what they did wrong. And it's just fascinating to me. So that's one podcast that I'm actively listening to right now. But one thing about me is that I rarely read for leisure, which I think it's something that I should change. Everything I read or listen to is geared towards helping me improve somehow. As you said, personal development, the kids these days, they're calling it human optimization, but whatever you call it, it's good.
That's a big word, human optimization. You know, that's a big idea. I just like to say that I'm just going to better myself, but I'm at fault with that as well. And I think there's a lot of people who maybe are, you know, focus on achieving their goals and dreams at a high level, who maybe fall in that trap as well of all the content they consume. It's with the intention of developing their mindset and helping them grow and get better, when the reality is there's so much wonderful content that we could consume that will allow us to just simply enjoy reading, enjoy listening, enjoy learning, right? So something I've been doing recently is, you know, every now and then, whatever book I'm reading, even if it is leisure or if it is for, you know, productivity purposes, trying to put away the ink pen, put away the highlighter, and just read the book and just enjoy the book without feeling as if, oh, I got to write that down, I got to put that in my notes, I need to post that on social media, so forth and so on. You mentioned something in that response that, you know, got my wheels turning about, you know, you mentioning breaking down, critiquing a voiceover from someone else, right? An audition from someone else, because all you typically hear is your own. So like, what are things that you look for when you listen to a voiceover? So, you know, if we worked in the restaurant industry, we would go to a restaurant and we would be critiquing the service and da 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 da. So now when you hear a voiceover, what are some things that you're paying attention to?
Well, the first thing is clean audio. Are there any distracting background noises? Because that's really bad. Is there any echo or reverb? Are there any hits in the audio? That sort of thing. Just to make sure that the audio is pristine. That's job number one, because it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. If that is not clean, then you're not going anywhere and you're not getting that job. Another thing that I listen to is, do they sound like a human? You know, do they sound conversational and like a real person? Because so many times people get on the mic and all of a sudden they sound like a robot, like it's the first time they ever spoke English. And so we don't want to sound like that either. And also that the tone and the cadence and the sort of spirit of the voiceover matches the words. So if the words are happy and excited, then you want to sound that way. If they're serious and somber, then you need to sound that way. So those are all the things that I look for.
So, you know, you brought up something else that I wanted to ask you about as well. So again, I'm not trying to pry, but it's just interesting to hear from someone who does work that I'm normally not exposed to or around. And so I'm unbelievably intrigued by this, because obviously being a female in, you know, in the broadcasting world, that presented its own challenges. you know, for you in order to grow in that career. And then now you talk about, you know, movie trailer voiceovers dominated by males. You know, is this another industry as a whole, even outside of that one particular genre? Is this an industry where it's a little more challenging for females to get their foot in the door, to gain some traction, build some momentum?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because most of the voices that you hear are male, but the same thing applied to the TV news industry. So it's something that I have already dealt with. Mm-hmm. So am I just rationalized that if I can make it there, then I sure as heck can make it here. So,
yeah. so 20 plus years there, and then you make this pivot. What advice would you give for someone listening today who's, you know, they hear the title of the podcast, they see the guest who's on, we're talking about your work, but the reality is that change is hard, change is scary, change is uncomfortable. There's a lot of unknowns, there's a lot of moving parts. So what advice would you offer for some people? Because you said this was a very conscious and deliberate decision. This wasn't something where I just said, oh, I just want to give up what I've done, where I've done really well, and I'm just going to, you know, just skip on over here, and now I'm going to do this, right? So what advice would you offer people about how you made that transition and some things maybe that you put in place?
Well, I think most people assume that it's going to be not hard.
Yeah.
That's wrong. It was challenging. It was extremely challenging. And the hardest part is dealing with your own thoughts and your own mind. Yeah. And for me, it wasn't just a career change. It was a complete life 180. And so I lived in Manhattan. I had my own condo. I rented it out. I got rid of 70% of my stuff. The remaining 30% I put into storage. And even up to the day that the movers showed up to take my stuff, I was doubting myself and second guessing and talking to myself like, girl, what are you doing? What are you doing? What now? Like, that's your blender. Like, go get it. What are you going to do? So it was a complete life 180. And I travel with all the stuff I currently have in the world. So I'm more of a minimalist now, only because I have to be. You know, I have two bags that I check. One of them is my voiceover gear, and one of them is just my clothes and personal stuff. So that has been a huge transition and a huge change. Yeah. So in that way, it's super challenging to even just wrap your mind around it. Now I'm about 6 months in, so I've become accustomed to the change, because the only constant is change. So, but it's an interesting way to live your life. It's tremendously freeing. Like, I can get up and go anywhere at any time just because I feel like it. And not many people can say that. But to your original point, I think most people don't expect that it will be as difficult as it is. And it's not just the planning of it. It's the battling of your own thoughts and mind, because you are doing something so radically different than what you've done before, and so radically different than what most other people you know are doing. So if you can understand that it's going to be a process, you will doubt yourself. It will be challenging, but on the other side of it, the spoils are incredible.
Yeah. So, and I think you make a great point with the emphasis of that answer, in that the larger percentage of the challenge comes from your mindset and battling your own thoughts, because let's call it what it is. When you've been successful at any particular endeavor in your adult life, and you've developed a series and a set of, you know, soft skills, interpersonal skills that allows you to add value to any space that you're in, and to adapt to change and to go figure things out, then at the end of the day, whatever change you make, the truth of the matter is you can find out how to do it. You can find out how to win. You can find people that will help you, but it's that mindset thing of, is this where I should be? Can I make it? Am I good enough? How long is it going to take for me to gain some momentum here? You know, and the crazy thing is, you know, working through that, you know, that question and hearing you talk about that, Marley, you know, there are so many adults across the world, you know, our age, who legitimately do doubt themselves, who lack the confidence to maybe take a step that they have desired to take for years and years and years. But sadly, they'll get to a place where they look back with a lot of shouldas, wouldas, and couldas, a laundry list full of regrets. But not Marley Hall, though. She's got two bags. She's got her voiceover gear. And then she's got a razor, some deodorant, and her makeup. And she's good, right?
Swimsuit. Yeah, I forgot the swimsuit.
So Marley, tell us again where you're currently located, where we're recording at right now.
I am on the island of Anguilla in the Eastern Caribbean.
Nice, nice. So what are some things you've enjoyed since you've been there?
Well, I've just been here 3 days so far, but I came from St. Kitts, where I was for a week. And before that, I was in Costa Rica, where I was for 3 weeks. Wow. So, but here in Anguilla, I have been here 5 or 6 times before. So I kind of, you know the runnings and the lay of the land. But whenever I get here, it's, you know, it's the same drill. Gorgeous, amazing beaches, some of the best in the world. They look like a dream. Like the sand is so white, it looks like snow. The water is like this beautiful clear turquoise, and it just goes on as far as the eye could see. So, the first thing I do is get a nice cool Carib in my hand, which is the local beer. Dip my feet in that sand, look out at the water, and just appreciate my blessings. And there's also amazing food here.
Is this really my life? Is this really my life? You know, you mentioning the beaches makes me think about it. Whenever I was still building that network marketing business with a previous company, and a cold call took place. This is wild. A lady in my downline, she's making cold calls at various times of the afternoon and evening, so she can try to recruit people in different time zones, because she wants to have a business that's legitimately operating around the clock. She wants people purchasing products in all these different time zones. And so I don't know. And it was weird. She would rather cold call somebody and recruit somebody versus asking one of her friends because of being intimidated about, you know, the rejection of her family and friends. So somehow she's dialing numbers in Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. She's dialing numbers in Hawaii. A guy picks up, he's in the Navy and he's also an athletic trainer. She throws some things out there. He actually was looking for plant-based proteins. So he decides to look at one of our products, ends up enrolling. I fly to Hawaii because he enrolls like a dozen people within a span of 2 weeks. So I fly to Hawaii to meet him and hang out. And I'll never forget walking out on that beach for the first time. And he said what you said about the water going on forever. He said, "My friend, this here is a beach. Everywhere else that you've ever been before is where the water just meets the land." He said, "But this, my friend, is a beach." And I'll never forget him saying that. And I'll never forget what that water looked like in that skyline. Oh my goodness. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, they got beaches here.
I can dig it. Marley, tell us about a fun project that you've worked on since you've been doing the work that you've done. Before we work to close down, what are some projects that you've done and you know, what have you enjoyed about what you're doing?
Oh, wow. I enjoy that I get to do something different every day. For example, just this morning, I turned in a voiceover that I did for a client, which was a community development corporation for some colleges in the Boston area, for Northeastern and for Cambridge. They needed a voice for their welcome video that will live on their website. And I love doing it because I get to talk to the young folks, you know, and tell them about the educational opportunities and the stipends that are available to them so that they can get an education and change their lives. And yeah. I get to tell them that, like, how cool is that? Like, I feel it. I mean, it's fun and it's also a privilege and I get paid for it. So that was really cool. Another thing that I do on an ongoing basis is I do voiceovers for the city of New York. And they do a lot of PSAs regarding COVID and vaccines lately. And then they have to do them in 51 different languages because New York City is such a melting pot. And one of those languages is Haitian Creole. And that's my culture. My parents were both born in Haiti, but I was born in New York, but they raised me in the Haitian culture and I speak the language. And so I was able to use my Haitian Creole language skills in voiceover to do these voiceovers for the city of New York. Wow. And I mean, it's a great gig for one. It's a very healthy paycheck. But the biggest benefit is that I get to address my people, like the people that come from where I come from, where my parents come from, who are new to this country, who don't even speak English yet. And I get to communicate to them in our tongue and tell them what the deal is, tell them where to get their vaccines, tell them what they need to be concerned about when it comes to COVID. Like, that's huge. Yeah. It's huge. And I'm so honored to do it.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. That's a blessing. And again, in every conversation that you and I have had lately about, you know, the potential of jumping on a podcast and chopping it up for a little bit about this and talking about the work that you do. Like, it's obvious that you absolutely are having a blast with life, and that's so daggone encouraging and inspiring. And so thank you so much for the passion and the excitement there. But Marley, we just had, I think it was International Women's Day. Is that correct?
Yes.
International Women's Day was recently. And, you know, you coming from where you come from with your heritage, your background, your experience, as successful you've been, as articulate and educated, you know, Marley, as we close down here, there are a lot of young women who don't know what's possible for them. What would you say to a young lady, you know, based on what you've been through, what you've seen, now what you've accomplished? What are some words of encouragement you could offer a young lady today about her value and maybe pursuing, you know, her goals and using her gifts?
I would say the time is now, because this, to me, is the best time ever to be a woman, to be a Black woman or a woman of color. I think the world wants to hear our voices. So whether you aspire to be a voiceover artist or a TV journalist or anything that you want to be, it's all very, very possible. And the world is smaller now than it ever was. If you aspire to be in television, it doesn't matter if you come from a little tiny town or a little tiny island, with the possibilities of digital entertainment and the internet, all is possible. You can work for anyone while being anywhere. And I would say to also look to others who have come before you, seek advice, seek guidance. You don't have to do it by yourself. We're here, I'm here, reach out. Actually, one of my favorite things to do is to mentor those who are younger in the industry, in the television industry, or even the voiceover. Although I've been doing voiceover professionally now for a little over a year, people contact me about that all the time. People contact me about, you know, how to get into TV all the time. And I love to answer those messages and those emails and set up a call and talk to people about it, because it's the guidance that I wish that I had. And I'm so ready and willing to give it. So anybody out there who wants a little bit of advice, in terms of doing life or any specific career, reach out. I'm here.
I like it. Thank you so much, Marley. Quick little rundown here. We're gonna shoot from the hip. I'm gonna ask you a few random questions. Just hit it on the fly.
That's kind of fun.
Well, we'll have a little fun closing down here. So, Marley, Are you an ice cream fan? And if you are, what's your favorite flavor?
Salted caramel and coconut.
Nice, nice. Where do you think you'll travel to next once you leave your current location?
Well, I'm going to go stateside first to visit with family. But this year, I'm definitely going to do Cuba and Okinawa.
Nice. Cuba and Okinawa. Wow, that's impressive. Let's see here. You mentioned a voiceover for a movie trailer. Is there a particular type of movie, genre of movie that you would like to do a voiceover for, or does it not even matter?
You know, I didn't even think that specifically about it, but I should to manifest it. So thank you for that. Yeah. I just told myself movie trailers, whatever it may be, I'm down for it, but I'm going to get more specific with my thoughts and manifestations. Thank you. Yeah.
So whenever you decided to get rid of all your belongings, downsize so that you could live this life, this nomadic lifestyle, as you mentioned, what are a couple of things that you're like, man, I just cannot do without that. Like, I've got to keep that.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. You know, that's so personal because everybody has a thing that, you know, that makes no sense, that is really important to them. For me, I have to say that I'm a little obsessed with skincare, so I need my products and creams. So that's one thing that no matter what it weighs, I will make room for that in my suitcase. What else do I need? Oh, and my computer, of course, because it makes all things possible, work and otherwise. And what else? My favorite denim shirt.
Yeah, I can dig it. I like it. That's good stuff. And I'll wrap up here with final question being, obviously you're a beachy person. You've mentioned that. But do you have a favorite season of the year outside of being in a beach location?
That's interesting. I love warm weather. So that's a hard question for me, but I really enjoy fall in New York City. Like September in New York City, it's the best. Yeah. And also the fall in Europe is really amazing too, like in London or Paris. So I would say autumn after very beachy tropical locations.
I'm a September baby. So like fall time is my jam. And you just solidified when I need to come to New York. Although me and Jayla, obviously we kind of romance over the idea of Christmas in New York City, right? Like everybody else does because of the movies. But then I think about how freezing cold it probably will be. But when we travel to New York City, what are three things that we need to do or check out or see or experience?
If you've never been to New York City before,
I actually have, but it was on a senior trip. So this was 20 years ago. And we did kind of the run of the mill touring a couple of places, Empire State Building and da 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 da. Something unique though, was that was also my senior year was when 9/11 happened. And so that happened September, and then spring of my senior year of high school, they still allowed us to come on our trip. And we were actually gifted tickets to go out on the platform at Ground Zero because they were actually still cleaning up rubble from the accident. So that was a very unbelievably sobering experience, something that clearly I'll never forget. So technically I've been, but I didn't really experience New York.
Well, one thing I would say for sure along the lines of 9/11, the current 9/11 memorial is really awesome and awe-inspiring, sobering, and just a must-do when you come to New York in Lower Manhattan. Another thing is the Staten Island Ferry. I mean, it's very, well, one is free, but it's like the best views in New York City. So you can, from the Staten Island Ferry, you can see a really close view of the Statue of Liberty and a couple of other monuments and sort of must-do things. So I would definitely do that. And let's see, what else? And go to my favorite Cuban restaurant, Victor's.
Nice.
In the theater district.
I am a foodie, and so I will definitely take you up on that. And I'll make sure that when I do, I post it in the IG stories and tag you so So
yes,
you know what's going on.
Well, Marla, have a motto for me.
Yeah, for sure. Marla, I'll let you get back to your evening. I just want to say thank you again for joining me here. Obviously you're having a blast doing the work that you do, and I know that you're doing it well, and I know that you're going to continue to do it at a high level because one, you're driven, you're a professional, and you simply want to be the best, the best version of yourself, whatever space that you're in. And so, that's inspiring enough as is, but tell everyone, where can they go to learn more about your work? Where can they follow you at on social media?
Oh, sure. Well, I have a website. It's MarlieHallVO.com. So that's MarlieHallVO.com. And I'm everywhere on social media at Marlie Hall.
Good deal. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, my friend. Again, enjoy your time on whatever beats that you're going to be setting on tomorrow, and continue inspiring young ladies to realize their dreams, to live out their passions, and to be the best version of themselves. Guys, this has been another episode of the Let's Grow podcast. Make sure you connect with Marlie. If you've listened to this episode, man, hit her up on social media, tell her thanks. Just drop in, shoot her a message, tell her hello. But as always, don't just go through life, grow through life. And remember, everybody can encourage somebody. And that means you. I love you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Hey, thanks again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and you received some value, could you do me a favor and share it with a friend? If so, I really, really, really appreciate you helping me get the word out about this podcast. As a reminder, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, and my goal is to simply leave you better than I found you. So my friend, I certainly hope that was the case for you today.